bless and uplift each one. We ask all these things in your son's name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Justin, for a good song service. Appreciate your songs. I love to sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to sing about heaven. I love to sing about joy of it. I love to sing about all that. It's just a beautiful, wonderful thing. If you'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, we're going to continue. This will be a second part of, I don't know how many, not very many, but maybe three or four messages on the Christian and the world. It depends on how fast I go. Sometimes I go slow. The message I had for Oakdale for Sunday, for Saturday, that I preached here, the first one, I went to cut it down and added to it, so now I'm going to just break it in half and preach two different services about that message. I hope it goes well that way, but we only got 35 minutes, and I don't blame them, we do the same thing, 35 minutes, that's what you give each preacher. It's hard to get everything in there, you know what I mean? And that's a wonderful message. I love preaching it, and I'm just going to add to it a little bit and break it in half, make two separate messages out of it for Saturday and Sunday. We are looking at the Christian and the world. Or the Christian in the world, any way you want to look at it. He says in John chapter 15, after he talks about us being part of the true vine, and we need to understand when the Lord talks about us in the vine and we're the branches, well then we need to understand what we are. We need to understand that we are branches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not just saved people. We're not just children of God. We are important to the Lord. And the Lord saved us for a purpose in this world, and we should be serving that purpose no matter what. No matter what else happens, we need to serve the Lord in spirit and truth, in His word and truth, and not allow this world to affect our service of the Lord in any way. So he gets down to talking about the world in verse 18, and we're just going to look at 18 to 19. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Listen, folks, Christians need to understand the world hates us, okay? They hate who we are. They hate what we are as God's children. They hate what we believe. They hate the fact that we go to church. They hate the fact that we stick to the Bible. They hate the fact that we quote the Bible. They hate the fact that we try to live the Bible. And they'll do everything they can to take the joy out of that. And it's up to us not to allow them to do that. They hate it. I don't know why Christians get so involved in the world. I mean, I understand, we have to live in this world. We have to work our jobs, we have to go to the stores, we have to deal with people that are lost, we have to deal with these people. They're our leaders in the city, in the county, in the state, and in the federal government, and in the world. It's all about lost people leading us. Some presidents have said they were saved, but I doubt. I really do doubt most of them were. I can't say they are or they weren't. If one of them truly was, it was probably Ronald Reagan. Closest thing you had to a Christian in office. But most of them are not. Congressmen, senators, all kinds of governors, they're not saved. They're lost people. That's the reason the world has gone the way it has. But God has ordained a tribulation period. He has ordained this world to be where it is today. We're not going to change it. And you're not going to change a lost person. They'll change a Christian, not from a Christian, but they'll change them from serving the Lord. But you're never going to change a lost person. You know why? They hate the Lord. And because they hate the Lord, they hate us. They hate his sovereignty. They hate his ordained will being done. They hate the fact that he controls us. They hate the fact that he's made us what we are in this world. They hate him that he gets so much glory we don't get any. They hate the Lord and Jesus. They hate him because he's Savior. They don't want him to be Savior. They want to save themselves. They want to create their own salvation. They want to create their own good works. They want to live in their own good works. So they hate it. They may not act like it. But you know what? If you're a strong enough Christian and you go around lost people, I guarantee you they'll hate you. If you do not give in to them in some way, they will hate you. There is absolutely a hate between God and Satan and God's people and this world. An absolute hate. I don't love them. I don't. I try to. I try to get along with them as much as I can. I pray for them. I want them to be saved. But how can I love people that hate me? I try. I'm telling you the truth. I'm human. I try my best. I'm not God. But I do try. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The world does not understand who controls them. They don't. Oh, there's a lot of organizations in this world that call themselves churches that's controlled by Satan. Let me tell you something, folks. The Catholic Church is not the Mother Church. We are not a universal and visible church. She is not the Mother Church of all churches. That is a lie out of the pit of hell if there is one. And any organization thinks that that church is our Mother Church, they're lost. They're not serving God. They're not a church. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. But I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, walk not in craftiness, nor handle the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, and it is, it is hid to them that are lost, and it is, in whom the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's blinded. How did he blind them? In the fall. Every person born is born with a dead spirit. Every person born is born blind to the Word of God. Every person born is born at enmity with God. That means they hate God. We're born that way. We're born in sin. We are born sinners. And we can thank God every day. We can thank the Lord Jesus Christ every day that God sent the Holy Spirit to us to redeem us through the Lord Jesus Christ through his power, through the blood of the cross. We can thank God every day for our salvation. We're no longer part of this. To have renounce the hidden things of dishonesty means to renounce or to disown things of dishonesty. The world is full of dishonesty, even in their so-called Christianity and so-called churches. They are dishonest people. preaching lies, preaching the doctrines of Satan. I know I make people mad. I'm okay with that. And the reason I'm okay with it is because I preach the truth. I preach the truth. I do not leave it. I do not get off of it. I do not apologize for it. I told you, the world hates the truth. The world hates the Bible. They hate the truth of the Word of God. Excuse me. So they're dishonest. They're dishonest in their craftiness. They're dishonest in everything. As true Christians, we are to discard everything that is artful and disguised, and all craftiness, everything like deceit and fraud, is only worldly. Satan found it. He's a liar and the father of it. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he does nothing but sin. He has billions of followers in this world. A lot of them disguised as Christians. A lot of them disguised as churches. We're to stay away from them, folks. I cannot tell you this strong enough. Stay away from Armenian churches. They are a tool of Satan. The world is Satan's playground. I got that from Brother Bookout. The world is Satan's playground. And the people here play in Satan's yard. They eat his dirt. They are filthy from eating his dirt. They will believe every lie and do everything they can to execute every lie Satan has. There's no truth in them. They do not know the truth. They have nothing to do with the truth. The world is not our friend. In their hearts is hid their hatred for God and their hatred for the truth of God's word. And because of this, their hatred for us, if we stand on the truth. People talk about these preachers, they'll talk about people flocking to them. They flock to us. Come in, so we build our churches bigger and bigger. It's the goal of these pastors of these Armenian churches to build bigger buildings, bigger churches. Bust them open, build them more, bust them open some more, build them bigger. And if we're good enough deceiver, if we're good enough liar, we will take over a football stadium in Houston, Texas, and build it into a church building. And we'll hold services there, and we'll take up offering after offering after offering, getting richer and richer and richer, because that's what the world does. They love their money. But God said, for love of money is the root of all evil. Do not allow money to ever come between you. Allow nothing that ever come between you and God. Give him allergies. The blindness by Satan can only be overcome by God. Listen. Heard what I said, right? The blindness of Satan can only be overcome by God. You cannot remove it yourself. A lost person will never save themselves. They will never repent on their own. They will never come to Christ on their own. They will never be saved on their own. It will never happen. They will disguise the truth with a lie, and they will tell you that you can, but you cannot. just like these ignorant preachers will get in the pulpit and talk about fighting Satan. We can't fight Satan. We can't. We can resist him, right? And resisting the world is part of resisting Satan. We can resist him. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are so weak they can't resist him. You know where strength starts? You want to know where people get their start to get strong in the truth, strong in the Word of God, strong in the Lord? Right there in that pew. That's where it starts. The church is the feeding trough for the sheep. It is where the Lord feeds his sheep. No radio program. I don't care who has them. No internet broadcast. No Facebook broadcast. Will substitute for the Lord's church. It will not. If I knew someone, one person, was staying out of church just because we have a broadcast on Facebook or on internet, I would kill the feed. I would never broadcast another service. Because that makes it my sin. That makes it our sin. But if you go back up into 2 Corinthians 2, 3, 4, it says that Satan had blinded them, but it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and it has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, verse 6. God commanded the light to shine. I can't command it. You can't command it. A sinner can't command it. Only God can command it. All these people that make their decisions for Christ, pray their prayers, and do whatever else they do to be saved, are not saved that way. God may save them. And they may ignorantly be saved. And they may think that. But if God hasn't saved a sinner, if the Father hasn't drawn someone to Christ, they haven't come. If God hasn't commanded the light to shine out of darkness, it has never shined in. Shined on him. All right, let's move over to our next sub-point here. Satan rules over the world. And all the lost people are under his control, are his servants, his slaves, to exercise his wicked will. I don't care who they are. It's sad. It's sad. You know why it's sad? I got family lost. I've got family lost, and we probably all do. I know pastors that ask us to pray for their children because their children are lost. I can't count the number of times Brother David O'Neill stood in this pulpit and asked us, and other pulpits, and asked the churches, pray for his family. Other pastors, I'm not going to name them, I could, but I'm not going to, who have just recently asked churches to pray for their children. They're lost. Will they be saved? They're not guaranteed it because their children doesn't mean they're guaranteed to be saved. We just do not know, do we? But there's nothing we can do except do everything we can, every time we can, to get them to listen to the gospel. and pray that one day the Lord commands the light to shine upon them and draws them to Jesus Christ to be saved. He can do it. If they're his elect, he will do it. Go to John chapter 12. Oh, my allergies. Jesus called Satan the prince of the world. In John chapter 12, verse 31, he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Satan is the prince of this world. He rules it. It's his. When God created the world, he created everything for his glory. So he took a lump of, he took a, some dirt and made a lump of clay and made a man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then he gave that man dominion over the earth. You ever read that? You ever think to go look and see what that means? God gave this man dominion over the earth. And you know what Adam did? He gave it to Satan when he sinned. Adam was no longer a warrior for the Lord. Adam surrendered to the world. He surrendered to Satan through his wife. And he was no longer in control. He was no longer over the world. Satan took it. Satan had it. And you know what's going to happen in the end? Jesus Christ is going to take it back. He has the title deed to the universe. This world is his. Satan has control of it. System of it right now, and one day Jesus Christ will take that back. So he's the prince of this world. It means he controls the world. Let's go to John chapter 14, a couple chapters over. When the Lord said these words, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, neither do his servants, neither do his lost people have anything in the Lord." Just because they have churches, quote unquote, doesn't mean they're churches. Just because they call themselves Christians doesn't mean they're Christians. It used to be an old cliche with a lot of Baptist preachers, you can put a bicycle in the garage and that doesn't make it a car. You can put a person in, a lost person in a church and that doesn't mean they're saved. You can assemble a group of lost people together and call it a church, make it look like a church, make it function like a church, but that don't make it a church. Churches belong to the Lord. They have rules to follow, regulations to follow, laws to follow. And the Lord said to the church at Ephesus over in Revelation 2, I think it is, 2 or 3, to the church at Ephesus that if they leave their first love, as the Lord, he will remove the candlestick. And they will no longer be a church. If you leave your first love, which is the Lord, for and make your love the world, you're not functioning properly for the Lord. You're walking according to the course of this world and not according to the course of God. People treat church it's a rule. Folks, there is nothing more relevant down the line of relevant things like number 3 or 4 that you need to be in the Lord's church. I mean, it's right at the top of the list if you number them. I've never numbered them. I've never thought about it. But it's right at the top of the list of what you need in your life is to have your rear end in a seat in a real true church teaching true doctrine every time it meets. Not just when you think it's convenient. Not just Christian Christmas, Easter only, CEO. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul called him the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2, verse 2, he says, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Listen, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience used to work in you and me. That's where we were. We were children of disobedience in times past. God help us, we don't fall back into disobedience. Because a lot of Christians have fallen back into disobedience. Their job is more important than the Lord. Their job is more important than the church. Their job's more important than getting fed the truth at the Lord's church. Their earthly friends are more important to them than their Christian friends. The world is more important to them than God is. We're not going to change the world. America was never built as a Christian nation. Couldn't have been. While there's some Christians came over on those ships, churches were started by people out of those, off of those ships. This world, this nation has never been a Christian nation. It's never going to be. The world is not a Christian anything. Satan is their God. He controls their thoughts, their minds, their actions, their decisions, and their choices. Lost people are under his control as he is their leader and their prince. He is the most powerful under God in this world. The only reason Satan didn't kill Job is because God has more power. Satan does. Job didn't have the power to stop him. People think they stopped Satan. Job didn't stop him, did he? No, he couldn't. We can't either. Only God can defeat Satan. He can resist him. And it starts by resisting the things of this world. There are two groups of souls on this earth. The lost who follow after their father and their God, Satan, and the saved. The saved who are the children of God. The lost have no choice but to follow Satan. But unfortunately for us Christians, sometimes we can allow ourselves to be deceived still. to be taken over by Satan to a point. Fall away from the churches, fall away from the truth, to mind the things of the world and not the things of the church. If the Lord's church is not a very, very top priority in your life, you have a spiritual problem. I'm tired of hearing about it. I don't hear any more things. I've heard them. I've even asked on Facebook. I hear the same dumb excuses. I got offended. A preacher made me mad. Everything, maybe God made you mad because you resisted his word. You resisted the teaching. No, no, it's the preacher. He's a horrible person. And I'll never go back to church. You know, I don't care what people's personal opinion is of me. But this is the Lord's house. And pastors are to be respected as pastors. As the leaders of the churches. They're here, sent by God, to teach the sheep, to feed them. And if that offends people, the problem's not with the pastor. The problem is with the person. People didn't leave this church with hate in their hearts because Brother Neat made them mad. Or Brother Thomas made him mad, or any of the other pastors made him mad. They left because they didn't want to come anymore. And they found a reason not to come. I'm just telling it like it is. Excuses, 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 they make me sick. Let's get started in our second point. And we'll fall back in here and start here next week. But I'm going to go ahead and open it up and get started. You'll turn to 1 Corinthians 11. When the Lord talks about the world, he's talking about the lost people of the world. He's not talking about the world itself. He's talking about the people. He's talking about all the lost people in the world. He's also talking about those of that world, the other Christians. Remember Paul, Apostle Paul, went to Church of Corinth and he said, I can only teach you with milk because you can't tolerate anything but milk because you're like the cardinal. You're like the Gentiles. You're like the cardinal. You don't know anything. They were a real church. They had their problems. You know what? Churches have problems. All the perfect Christians in the world make me sick. When a church has an issue or something, people want to jump in and start minding their business in it. This church's business is nobody's business but us and the Lord. And I don't get involved with other churches. People try to drag me in. I'm not going to get involved. The difference between, this is our second point. The difference between the two people is that one group is saved and another group is lost. One group serves Satan, the other group serves the Lord, or they ought to. See, when you look at the two groups, only one group has the freedom, I guess you want to say. I don't know how to put it. Maybe it's because I'm just not smart enough. I don't know how to put it exactly, but they have the liberty to disobey the Lord. Christian. So they follow it. They're still saved. They're getting no rewards, but they're in the world doing their own thing. Why? I don't know. Why would God save someone and rescue us from the world and sin for us to willingly fall right back into it is dumbfounding to me. But lost people can't do that. They have no freedom at all. They are bound to sin. Christians have been freed from sin. Freed from the power of Satan. Freed from the power of sin. We have the ability to resist Satan, and we ought to. But they don't always do it. See where I'm going? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. But we won't be condemned with the world. The Lord chastens us, and he don't chasten lost people. You know that? The Lord doesn't deal with lost people except in a very harsh way. But the Lord deals with Christians by chastening them. Want to follow the Lord. That's God's will for us, that we follow the Lord. Some people do not. And when we do not, the Lord chastens us, chastises us. Sometimes he brings persecutions to us. Sometimes bad things happen. Because we're the Lord's children. And the Lord tells us to spoil a rod, spare a child. We are to discipline our children. I know that's an awful thing in today's society, but we ought to discipline our children to make them walk right, upright. When you don't discipline children, you get what we got in the world today. People just smoking pot everywhere. They smoke meth everywhere. I watched Fridays with Frank. He's a Pinal County, Arizona police officer. He has like a 5-minute segment on YouTube. He's actually hilarious. He stops this guy, young guy, probably in his 20s, early 20s, maybe 19. I think he was like 19, in fact. And he was high. Been toking weed, you know. Frank says, well, you can't drive toking weed. That's like drinking. You can't do that, you know. So he cuffs him. He's going to take him to jail. He says, I'll give you an opportunity if you want to. Get someone to come pick your car up. So he gets his friend to come pick his car up, and he gets out, comes talk to Frank. Frank has to check his ID, you know, make sure he got a license, and he smells weed on him. He didn't drive up, and he got somebody to bring him up, but so he couldn't get him for DUI, but he said, does all young people smoke weed anymore? It would amaze you the amount of young people, not just young, but all ages now, smoke weed. You know, the Lord told us in Revelation that the world will control the minds of the people like 18, chapter 18 of Revelation, through sorceries. And the word sorceries comes from the Greek word pharmakeia, which is where we get our pharmacy word. So it's through witchcraft or drugs. Both of them are witchcraft, maybe. So that's the reason our government has endorsed people to take drugs. They give it to them. They set up places for them to take it. They give them needles to take it with. Because a mind-numb society that's high all the time doesn't complain. They don't fight. They will surrender to the government. God knew what he was talking about, didn't he? Sure he did. So we'll pick up with this point, our second point, next week, and get into more of this. Not exactly that way, but I didn't want to get too deep with it. But we'll get into it next week. And